This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and glad you are with me today, and I'm glad to be with you guys. I really am. And first of all, I want to start off by saying this before we get into the podcast. I preach in Taiwan every year, and those of you who are listening from Taiwan, hey, I want you to know I hear you, I see you, I love you, I'm praying for you. They had a major earthquake last night, and so I want everyone to be able to be in prayer for everyone there in Taiwan, because we want to make sure that there's no deaths and that everybody is safe and sound. So make sure you're keeping Taiwan today in your prayers, all right? So, but I also want to say to everyone else, thank you for joining with me today. I'm honored, I'm glad to be with every one of you. And I'll tell you, last night we had, actually in my state, we had some scares ourselves. We had some tornado watches, and we had to be careful here, but you know, fortunately, thank God that nothing happened, and we had no tornado even touch down, and so it was really great. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. So that's always a good thing, knowing that God is in charge. Amen. So anyway, I want to take some time this today to talk to you guys about a series I put out a while back called Make the Vision Plain series. It's called Make the Vision Plain series. And the reason why I want to talk about a series today as opposed to just a regular teaching is simply because of the fact I'm going to incorporate a small teaching within this today to be able to open your eyes to see exactly what this series in details. Because a lot of times people say, you know, hey, I've got a lot of books, I've got a lot of courses, you know, and realizing that we always are continuously growing, right? You just don't, you know, say, hey, I've reached my utopia in reading and writing and, you know, listening and playing. And, you know, so I don't have to do that anymore in my life. I'm graduated from learning. You know, you never do. You always adapt every day to a new set of rules. And you always adapt to a new learning curve. You always adapt to a new paradigm shift. That's just the way of the world, but it's also the way of the kingdom. So how much more, you know, kingdom shifting should our minds do every single day, because we are people with the mind of Christ that needs to be ahead of the game. Let's just be real about it. You know, to know what's going on ahead before it even happens. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, do the majority of Christians do that? No, but you know what? That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, Jesus was. Jesus was ahead of the game. Jesus was ahead. He was thinking way ahead of the people, knowing what they needed, knowing what would be better for them. And that's what he did. He came with a vision. He came with a purpose. He came with a package of vision and creativity really embedded in him, because he was the package. He was the creativity. He was the, you know, he was the future. He was destiny. And so a lot of times we forget that as Christians, we're supposed to be ahead of the game. We're supposed to be ahead of the world. We're supposed to be above and, you know, not beneath, you know, the head and not the tail, as the scripture says in the Old Testament. And knowing that, that means that we have to begin to have and cultivate a vision for not just, you know, the world and sort of seeing ahead, but more or less for ourselves. If we can't do it for ourselves, how on earth can we begin to do it for other people, right? One of the things I will be glad to tell you, and I'm not boasting about it, but I'm thrilled to say I am, in my personal life, ahead of the game because of the fact that I have a strong vision. I own several businesses that I've been begin to cultivate throughout the years, and I'm successful, and it's all given to the glory of God 100%. But one thing I will tell you is I credit myself on listening to the voice of God and acting and responding on it, you know, and realizing that through that, I'm, you know, pardon my language, but I'm going to bust my butt because I have a life to live. I have to be successful. I have to be able to prosper. You know, I have to be able to look out for my future. I have to be able to look out for my children's children. I have to be able to look out, you know, for, you know, to be ahead of the game if economy, you know, goes bad. You know, as we say in the South, goes sour, right? I mean, and you should too. And so from that, I want to tell you the importance of this series, because when we say make the vision plain, we have to remember, according to scripture, when it says without a vision, the people perish, which means this. Now, I want to share this with you, because you guys hear me say this a whole lot, but I give you different definitions every single week, because this scripture is so vitally important to understand. without a vision, the people perish. And what that means is this, is if the world's economy goes bankrupt or goes bad, I want you to think like Joseph for a moment. I want you to realize like Joseph, like even Daniel, who was rescued from the lion's den. I want you to begin to understand the whole importance of everyone in the Bible that was rescued from a system, whether it was a system of the world, a system of the of man's mind system, right, of what they want to carry out as far as their laws, you know, or trickery such as Daniel, where, you know, where they wanted to really basically trick the, you know, the king by saying, hey, what if we pick a day, you know, where everybody worships you, you know, and I mean, you know, you're the head dude, right? I mean, and anyone on that day, you know, is not allowed to pray to any other god. And so they tricked him, and he's like, yeah, sure, why not, let's do that. And when they did, even though he loved Daniel, he didn't realize that he actually you know, did something that was against a friend of his. And so when that day came, they spied on Daniel and realized that, you know, hey, Daniel's praying to his god here, you know, Daniel's praying to Jehovah. And so they caught him. They wanted to be able to catch him and throw him in jail. And from that, what goes on is realizing that that's what began to happen, you know, was the fact that they tricked the king and they caught Daniel. But guess what? God raised Daniel up and moved Daniel out of the system of this world. In other words, out of the system of the mind of what these people had in store for Daniel to be destroyed. And because of that, guess what? God rescued him. And that's where you have to begin to look and realize that what God is saying today is saying, look, I can rescue you from the system of man. I can be able to rescue you from the system of the world. I can rescue you from trickery, manipulation, deception, narcissism. God knows we see narcissism within the, don't even get started in presidency, former presidents. But anyway, just all that stuff we see. And what God is saying is making us understand that I can rescue you, but you've got to have a vision. You got to have a vision. And so we see that through Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And Joseph's dream, God wanted to come to pass. He told his brothers, and he went through all this stuff, and God brought him out of this to be second in command of Egypt when the whole world was suffering, you know, we'll say financially, and starving. And yet God put Joseph in charge, and second in command, and he fed his own brothers, his half-brothers, who actually turned their back on him, right? Because he shared the dream with them. They wanted him dead. And so, you know, their attitude was like, we're not bowing to you. You know, that's sort of the vision Daniel had was, you know, I mean, Joseph had was, we're not bowing to you. And so God rescued him. But the key thing here is in the New Testament, we have to also realize that we've got to have a vision to say, God, if you say that if I don't have a vision, I will perish, that I've got to be able to look at my life and realize I can expect you, God, hear me out, folks, to take care of me completely if I'm going to sit back and just pray all day. And just do this all day. I'll give you a great example. I remember sharing this with a lady the other day who was telling me, she says, oh, every time a tornado comes, or every time this happens, I just pray. I just pray, and oh, I'm so scared. And you could hear the fear in her. And I'm like, your prayers of fear are doing nothing. Begging and pleading God to protect you does nothing. Begging and pleading is a sign of not desperation, but a sign of fear, right? It's like a woman going to a man after he's beat her, and she's like, please don't hit me anymore. I beg you, please don't hit me anymore. Is that a prayer of faith? No. Are those words of faith or even desperation out of faith? Absolutely not. It's begging and pleading out of fear. And so first of all, to dig myself out of this whole prayer thing, is realizing that you know, first of all, it's, you know, prayers of fear does absolutely nothing, folks. Nothing. And plus, we should never beg God or plead with God. That's almost like saying, God, don't put sickness upon me. I beg you, I plead with you. Don't hurt me, God. As if God's saying, huh, gosh, I really wanted you sick, but all right, I'll heal you because you begged me. That's a sick, warped sense of God. We don't beg God. We don't plead with God in a way of desperation. We go to God by faith, knowing His Word, saying, Father, this is what You said. This is what I'm expecting. And I thank You that Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. It's already taken place. And you have the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. And so because of that, God doesn't listen to the desperation. Now, that's one side of it. The second side of it is understanding the fact that, you know, I told this lady, I said, first of all, you're praying out of fear. But second of all, let me say this to you. Even when things like that happen, what you should be doing is just praising. And I started giving example after example after example all through the Bible of them, of people not praying, but actually praising. Like give you a great example. Like Paul. When Paul and Silas was in jail, he didn't say, "Oh God, oh Jesus, please help me. Oh, hey, did the devil put me here? I'm going to bind the devil." You know, all that charismatic hocus pocus, you know. "I'm going to bind the devil. I'm coming against the devil, God. Yeah, he put me in jail." You know, when he, you know, all the drama that we see today, you know, and the whole time God's probably like, "Oh my God, what is wrong with these people?" You know, but what does he do? He didn't say, he didn't go there. He didn't take his mind to the devil or hell or whatever. He didn't go there to beg and plead with God. Him and Silas just started praising. And what happened? The jail cell shook to the point where it just shook off the door, probably, to where they could walk right out. And not only did they walk out, but then they begin to lead, you know, the jailer and tell the jailer, "Hey, today you and your household shall be saved." Think about it. It's not like he even stopped and said to the jailer, "Oh, can I pray for you? Grab my hand. Let's just pray together right now in Jesus' name." No. He just said, "Hey, by the way," he made a declaration. "Hey, by the way, you and your household is going to be saved today." That's faith talking for you, folks. That's not begging, pleading, desperation. You know, I don't go for the desperation stuff. I go for the faith stuff, because that's the heart that God said, "When I come back in the earth, will I find faith?" He didn't say, "Will I find desperate people? Will I find people?" No, people praying. He says, "I'm looking for faith in the earth." And so he made a declaration. That's powerful faith right there. So when we talk about Make the Vision Plain series that I'm talking about, which deals with five books, we're dealing with knowing the importance that you've got to have a vision to be able to say, "Look, I know how to align my prayer. I know how to begin to align my praise to know which one's more effective in situations and what I'm called to do biblically." And then through all of that, I've got to begin to cultivate a vision to be able to know how to be able to get in and out of situations. And so if you really think about it, what happens is perishing means this. It means that when the world's going crazy and economy is hitting rock bottom, you can't, this is the point I'm trying to make, you can't sit here and beg and plead God, "Oh God, please save me. I bind the devil of finances off of my life in Jesus' name." You know what God's going to say? It's going to be like, "Blah, blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah." You know, probably not, but that's Jeremy talking. But the thing is that God's going to say, "But I'm looking for faith for one, and for another, do you have a vision? Because I honor my word above my name, and if you don't want to perish, then to cultivate a vision for my kingdom, because my throne is creativity. And when you begin to pour yourself into working with me, co-laboring, co-creating with me, cultivating a vision to say, this is how it's going to look, this is what's going to happen, I see myself doing it, and you know what, I'm going to slide, like Jesus slid through the crowd who wanted to kill him, that's a vision, folks. That if I have a vision, I'm going to slide right through the economy when it hits rock bottom. I'm going to slide through because my vision is going to carry me through. My vision is going to begin to push me through. My vision is going to make sure that I will not perish, because the only thing that counteracts a vision, perishing, is a vision. Now hear me again. The only thing that counteracts perishing is a vision according to the Word of God. And so quit looking for every devil underneath the rock. Quit looking for binding and loosing all the time. And look at this and say, what is the weapon, the real weapon I need here? Because if not, you're going to be binding and loosing for another 5 days, which we won't get into binding and loosing, but that's another day for another time. But you have to begin to look at this and say, you've got to use the right tool, folks. You don't use a hammer when you're trying to, you know, put a screw in the wall. You use a screwdriver. And that's what God's trying to tell you in the Word of God, is know your tools and know what is effective for each and everything that you're doing. Because if you don't, you're going to be wasting your time. You're going to get exhausted, and you're going to find yourself not working. It's not going to be working. And then you're going to get, you know, find yourself saying, well, this stuff doesn't work, right? Or maybe there's sin in my life. Maybe I've done something wrong. The truth is, no, you're just using a hammer when you're supposed to be using a screwdriver, right? And what that represents is knowing that some situations just require praise. Because true faith would just say, I'm going to praise my way through this. I'm not going to, oh, in the name of Jesus, the devil is coming after me. He's on my back. Come against my finances. That sounds crazy, but did the disciples ever do that? I don't think they did. Last time I checked, the disciples didn't. Well, let me back up. No one did in the scriptures. No one did. You know, there's a few scriptures that deal with poverty. Yes, being a bad thing. Absolutely. But you know, what is it? What would people say the saying that, you know, they'll say something, they'll say, Jesus never said? Well, guess what? Jesus never said. Because you're not using the effective tool. The effective tool is saying, I'm praising my way through this thing. I'm going to praise my way right through it. Why? Because I'm not going to fear. Why even, you know, and that's the key thing you have to be able to do. So don't use a hammer when you need a screwdriver, folks, right? And cultivating a vision means that it'll keep you from begging and pleading God, because what happens is when you get a vision for a business, you get a vision for what God's going to do to you, and you know it's God, and God's working with you on it, and He's helping you, and He's saying, bypass this, go to this person for help, do this over here. Yeah, you might need a little schooling, a night class over here. You know, listen, read this book over here of Jeremy's, or listen to this audio over here of, you know, of Joel Osteen, or Joyce Meyer, or TDJ, or whoever, you know, do this, you know, get this business book, you know, by Elon Musk, you know, to help you out and to know in this area, that area, whatever it is God is calling and requiring you to do through your vision, He will give you direction. The Holy Spirit will lead you through the vision, right? If He leads us through the valley, He's going to lead us through the vision, right? And so there's two V's right there, vision and valley. He leads us through both, right? And so something about V's that the Holy Spirit just leads us through, right? And so you have to begin to understand that's your tool. Your tool to counteract devastation and perishing is actually a vision. And so what I do in these five books is I begin to bring out, yes, you know, sometimes people might say, hey, well, a vision board sounds a little cheesy. Well, let me ask you a question. For some of the most richest people on this planet, try telling them that who have a vision board. Because they'll laugh in your face, right? Because a vision board is powerful. Because without a vision, they know that they will have no lesson. They'll have nothing to counteract something with that comes their way. They'll have nothing to deviate. They'll have nothing to sort of throw out there when economy's great or when economy's bad. Because they understand, I've got to be ahead of the game. I've got to know what's going on in my life. I've got to know what's going on in my businesses. I've got to know where my money's going. You know, when people say, well, so-and-so sounds like they don't have a vision. Yes, they do. Because when rich people understand where their money is and what's going to happen with it. And that's why you don't see a lot of really, really rich people suffer. You've never heard of Elon Musk, you know, from making billions to just hit rock bottom overnight. Because you know why? He knows where his money is. He knows what it's doing because he has a vision for it. Right? I could go on and on. Bill Gates is another one. I could go on and on and on. I'll give another great example. Many of you might not like her, but Kim Kardashian. She's one. She's a billionaire, folks. A billionaire. Who would ever thought we'd get in the time in history where we see multiple billionaires on this planet? Not even just millionaires, but billionaires. And so from being a billionaire, guess what she did? She built her dynasty, for lack of a better word. She built it. And most people can say she's not even talented. Well, that woman is laughing, going to the bank. So when you might think she's not talented, you're right, she might not be talented, but she's wise. And trust me, if wisdom's crying out, I sure would rather listen to wisdom than I would talent any day of the week. Because wisdom is what saves me. You know why? Because she understands, obviously, the power of what weapon to use or what tool to use, right? She doesn't find herself fighting all the time. Here's the thing. Do I know her life? Not really. I know a little bit of her family and I know somebody in her family. But the key thing is, she doesn't fight all the time. Does she have heartaches and pains and discouragements like everyone else on this planet? Sure she does. But the key thing we have to understand is she's a wise businesswoman. And because she's a wise businesswoman, she invests. Whether it's makeup, clothing, a clothesline, you know, whatever it is she's doing, she has got money scattered out in different pockets of the stock market, in different areas of businesses. Why? Because she knows if I leverage myself out with a good foundation, then no matter what happens in this world's economy, I'm not going to suffer. It won't even affect me. Because I know where my money is. You know why? Because she has a vision for her money, a vision for her children, a vision for her life, a vision for her dynasty, for lack of better words. That's what she has. So when we look at people and say, well, I don't see them having a vision board. Well, guess what, folks? She does. She does. Because without a vision board, without an idea of something that you are running with, and not just claiming and standing on, but running with it and building on that vision, you're going to perish. Because if you don't have a vision to say, hey, you know what, I got to build on this thing. Here's where Christians miss it majorly, is when we look and we say, I got a vision. Which basically means, aka, meaning this. I got an idea for a job, for a business. They never do anything about it. They just keep on praying on it. I'm going to pray on it, and God's going to bring it through. And guess what? They still remain broke. They still remain, nothing going on in their life, nothing happening, nothing's moving, nothing's budging. Oh, well, if nothing's moving and budget, got to be the devil. He's attacking my finances. No, honey, he's not attacking your finances. You just didn't carry it out. One thing that Bible makes it plain is running the race, carrying it out. carrying out, running the race, find the good fight of faith. In other words, carrying, and find the good fight of faith has nothing to do with sitting here saying, you know, oh, the devil's hit my finances, he's come against my vision, I bind that, we'll make up an angel, because some obviously people do, you know, an angel of vision, a demon of vision, coming, I mean, I don't know where these people get the names from, but I'm starting going, that's not even biblical. But my point being with that is, but while you're doing that, she's over here with a vision, making more money, while you're sitting here fighting the devil, or what you think is the devil, and you're doing nothing with your productivity, you know, with your money. You're not being productive in any area of your life because you're too busy fighting. And yet someone who, I don't know if Kim's a Christian, she probably is a Christian, I don't know. But the key thing is, while she's over here busting her rear end to be able to have a vision, cultivate it, carry it out, knowing where my money is, knowing how I can get with a group of people or get with my team and create a new design for my makeup line or my clothes line, whatever. While she's doing that, you're over here binding some devil. She doesn't have to bind devils. You know why? Because her vision is her tool, and it takes her through. And that's what I'm here to tell you, folks. Because when you think of, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, many of you, whether you like Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, whatever, you know, whether you, I actually absolutely love them all. I think they're great. I love everybody in the body of Christ, no matter who they are. But what I'm saying is, you don't hear them on TV fighting and everybody extend their hands right now. We got to come against this devil. I want you to think about this for a moment. How come a lot of successful ministers don't get on TV and bind the devil every 5 seconds? You know why? Because they know the right tools. They know the right tools to use. The right tools to use is preaching the good news of the kingdom, manifesting the good news of the kingdom, thoughts becoming things, writing things out, talking to their team. Here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to do this. I'm going to put another book out. We're going to do this. When I write a book, I get with my team. We talk it through. We begin to, you know, I collaborate. I say, I got an editor. I got a ghostwriter. I got all the people. I say, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I need to put together. I need this to make it happen. Because you know why? I refuse to sit here and say, guys, I need to write another book, but I got writer's block. I got to bind the devil in Jesus' name. Oh, y'all pray for me right now. Lay hands on me. That devil of I don't know. Some people make up names. That devil of not allow me to write a book. Yeah, I got to come against that. And the whole time God's like, oh my God, help me, Jesus. help my son, you know. Because the truth is, you know what? Because I'm doing it the wrong way. While these other people are plowing the ground with their vision, you know, Jeremy refuses to do that because Jeremy understands the tools, the empowerment of wisdom to know how to get him through this world, right? I don't need to bind some devil. What I need to do is I need to focus on the author and finisher of my faith. When the Father tells me, you look up, no, your redemption draws nigh. Don't be looking down. Don't be looking on the level of something else. You look up. It's so funny to me that John the Revelator had to come up hither to see things. He, you know, the Bible tells us to look up, our redemption draws nigh. You know, lift your heads, all you gates, the Bible says. I mean, how many times has God have to tell you to look up? And while many of you are looking down, you're looking down trying to find what's bothering you, what's plaguing you of some devil. Quit, get off his territory. You dishonor yourself. I'm gonna say something. You dishonor yourself. You dishonor yourself by putting yourself on the level of the enemy. You know why Jeremy doesn't bring all this stuff up all the time? Because of the simple fact that Jeremy is not going to get on the level of something or someone that's not on his level. Because I refuse. When I envision the vision, then I see myself high. I see myself seated in heavenly places. I see myself where God wants me to be. And if I need to, and therefore I learned that obedience is better than the sacrifice. And my obedience is when God says, you're seated here. Get out, get away from, quit talking about all this charismania stuff. Get into the place of living the kingdom out and talking the kingdom and walking the kingdom. That's where you're supposed to be living anyway, right? And that's why Jesus didn't even say a whole lot about these certain things that we do. I mean, my goodness, folks, I think most charismatics talk about the devil and demons and spirits, evil spirits, more than Jesus ever did. Are we greater than Jesus? No. Jesus knew the plan because he followed the mission of his Father. Why was Jesus successful? Because he followed the mission of the Father. And anytime he had a hard time, he didn't fall to pieces. He didn't run to get his, run to find somebody to, you know, let's pray together in Jesus' mighty name. He didn't do all this stuff. You know, of course, he was Jesus, so I doubt he would pray in his own name. But you see what I'm saying? You don't see him doing that. He had a vision. He had a mission. He got it accomplished. When things are going on in the crowd, he didn't look at the crowd. He didn't extend his hands and say, oh, you are full of the devil. Satan, I bind this, I bound the atmospheric demon over the principalities of this city. My words to that, honestly, is blah, blah, blah. It's not biblical. What Jesus did is Jesus had wisdom because his vision led him through the crowd. In other words, put another way, I don't have time for this stuff. I got a vision to accomplish. I'm supposed to do the will of the Father. I don't have time for all this mumbo jumbo stuff. So he just walks through the crowd. Isn't that cool? And that's why the Bible says that he laid his life down willingly. No one took his life, folks. He laid his life down willingly. You know why? Because his vision was so strong at that moment. He understood that this vision is so powerful in me from the will of the Father that no one's going to kill me. I'm going to lay my life down when I decide to, on the day in which I'm supposed to. Now, that's powerful, folks. That's powerful. And that's what successful people do. They don't let other people be in charge of them. They don't allow bringing up the, you know, accusations against, oh, must be the devil, must be the devil, must be the devil. You know, they're not that childish. They're mature enough to know the wisdom of God says this, and this is what I'm going to act on. So that's why the Bible says, you know, occupy until I come. The Bible didn't say, maintain the heavens, bind the devil until I show up. Command the enemy. You know, I'm like, oh my God, that's too much drama for me. What did he say? He said, occupy until I come. Occupy meaning, hey, be successful, live your life, build the kingdom, love your family, build, 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 occupy. That's what we do. And so if this series right here will literally jettison each one of you into a brand new realm, into a new realm of understanding of how to have a vision, how to cultivate a vision, how to live your life, and whatever success looks like for you. Success doesn't have to be money, but whatever success looks like for you, having a mission field in Africa, having a ministry, being a dynamic doctor, being a dynamic janitor, being a dynamic, attorney, whatever it looks like, being a dynamic mother, being a dynamic son or daughter, you know, to your family. Whatever your vision is of what you think of success is, live it proud, live it strong, right? And I'm trying to help you navigate through with your vision. So I want to encourage every one of you right now, go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and when you do, just put in Make the Vision Plain series. Put those five words in, Make the Vision Plain series. Or if you want to, just put in those four words, Make the Vision Plain. Plain, of course, is P-L-A-I-N. Just for some of you that might not, sometimes you get stumped like I do. Make the Vision Plain and order or download those five books. We have all five books in stock in our office, in our warehouse. Or what I would encourage you to do is just download the series today. If you're like me, I am so desperate, for lack of better words, to live my vision out. I don't have time even to wait on the post office. I'm like, download it now to my computer so I can start on it today. So I encourage every one of you, if you're really serious about your life, and you're sick and tired of living charismania where you're constantly fighting, then you know what? I got great news for you. It's simple. It's simplistic. It's called the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And when you start living the good news of the gospel of Jesus, you understand the buying, selling, and trading, which basically represents feeding the poor, taking care of people. That's your greatest tool. And then understanding your greatest tool for success is vision. Understanding, the greatest thing when you're in a difficult situation is praise, right? Understanding these things, how to meditate constantly upon God's word, keeping him aware in your life in that state of awareness 24/7. I can teach you all of that. That's what I live out all the time, because I understand the principles of God's word, how to be not only successful, but live at peace in my heart and have a dynamic vision, but also have a good time with my family, my friends, and enjoying the life God died to give me that I can live out. So I want to encourage each one of you, if that's what you really want in your life, then download today, Make the Vision Plain series. Now you can call our office as well and say, I want to order those downloads. Make the Vision Plain series, and they will run your credit card through, whatever, and we'll send you the link right then and there for you to download instantly to your computer. But I really want to encourage every one of you, download them today. Make the Vision Plain series, all right? And as I close, I always like to say this, and you guys know I try to be serious, but sometimes I throw in a little funniness every once in a while, because I really am passionate about the fact that I want you guys to live not just successful, but live a peaceful life in Christ and really know what that looks like and know what it feels like, and use, as I say, use the right tools. Many of you are so weapon-minded, and I'm thinking, did Jesus even ever use the word weapon? Not once. Do we have weapons? Yes. Thank you, Paul, for saying that in Ephesians and Colossians. Yes, we do. However, putting on the armor in Ephesians is basically putting on Jesus, folks. That's all that means. If you look at the breastplate and all the sword, all that is putting on Jesus. That's all it means. And so, instead of fighting, why don't you start living and being able to know and building. Tools build. Tools build, right? Weapons can destroy, and sometimes we need that. But I would rather build the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Occupy until the Father comes. That's my greatest joy in this on this planet, right? And God can, and like God said, you know, I'll fight your battles. You know, battle's not yours, battle's mine. I'll fight your battles. If you occupy and you build, I can take care of your battles for you. But instead, many of us are like, no, let me do the fighting, God, so I can feel like a martyr and like I'm fighting so hard for your kingdom. And God's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, but you're going to waste time. You're doing my job, and you're going to find yourself being attacked constantly, right? And so, find it in your heart today to know your tools. Your tools are your greatest thing God's ever given you. Your gifts, your talents, all that amazing stuff. And wisdom wants you to use that. So remember that today. So as I close, I always like to close with this. If you don't like your day, I have a great, great idea. And that is this. Change your thoughts and your whole life will change. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.